All right, Luke chapter 19. I want to begin reading in verse 28. If you're willing and able to stand, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Now, if you're not able to stand, that's okay. But Luke chapter 19, I'd like to read verses 28 through 40 as our text this morning. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye to the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went by, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even down to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. We're going to pray and then you can be seated. Father, I thank you today for the wonderful reception Jesus had at this particular moment. Lord, I know that just a week later, this same crowd that was saying Hosanna, the same crowd would be saying crucify him later on. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people of praise. Help us, Lord, to know how to give you glory. Help us, Lord, to do more praising you in our future. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be grateful people, thankful people, and that we would continue to marvel at the wonderful things that you've done for us. Lord, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about this particular text. Now, this is normally a text that you might hear on a Palm Sunday. But the Lord used this text to speak to me in recent days. One of the things I miss, when I pastored for about 33, 34 years before I became the promotional director, and I enjoyed studying the various seasons of the Bible. And I really, Easter is my favorite time of the year. And I miss that. And so this year, as I was trying to prepare my own heart for Easter, I ran across this passage. I ran across this statement where, Jesus had come into the city of Jerusalem. He would soon be crucified just a few days later. And as he was coming into the city, people began to praise him. In fact, the Bible says his disciples praised him with a loud voice, so much so that the Pharisees in the crowd said, Jesus, why don't you tell your disciples to pipe down a little bit? There's no need in getting to be like a fanatic over this, And Jesus said something very amazing. Jesus said, if these would not speak, if they didn't praise me, the very rocks would cry out. The very rocks would cry out. How many of you have ever heard the expression, if these walls could talk? Let me ask you this. If the walls of your house could talk, let's just go back the last 3 or 4 hours. If the walls of your house could talk, what would they say happened inside the four walls of your house in the last three or four hours? I hope that would be talking about Jesus. Everybody would be in that house would be telling a story about how they were looking forward to coming to church today. But I'm afraid that maybe sometimes that's not what those walls hear, is it? What would the walls of this church, as if they could talk, what would they say? You know, I remember Brother Sweeney back when I was getting started in the ministry. Brother Sweeney was going strong back in those days. And I know that I believe 43 or 44 years he pastored this church. And I'm sure those were some glorious times back getting the church started. What would these walls say if they could talk? And in this context of this passage, Jesus had triumphantly entered the city of Jerusalem for the last time. In a few days, instead of them saying, "Blessed be the King," they would be shouting, "Crucify him." But at least for the moment, at least for a brief time, the whole multitude of these disciples were rejoicing and praising God and bringing up the wonderful things that Jesus had done and said. I imagine in this particular crowd, there might have been Bartimaeus. You remember Bartimaeus? He was blind. Jesus came by one day and Jesus healed him of his blindness. I imagine in this particular crowd, there might have been Jairus, who Jesus healed her daughter. There were no doubt a lot of things that Jesus had done. Maybe Lazarus. You remember Lazarus? He had died. He was in the grave. And Mary and Martha called for Jesus. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Perhaps Lazarus was in this crowd. So there was a lot to praise God about. You know, let me just give you a little hint. Sometimes when you're feeling down, sometimes when you're feeling blues, like your problems just won't go away, think back in your mind to the wonderful things God's done for you over the years. You know, I have enjoyed the ministry. For 45 years, I have enjoyed the ministry. I can tell you some wonderful things that God did. I remember at my very first church, there was a guy named Jerry Bush. Jerry Bush was a big old man. And you understand, when I first started pastoring, I was just 21 years old. And I was about the size of this guy right here. I overcame that, brother. You probably will, too, if you keep eating the fried chicken and all that stuff these folks feed you. But anyway, I was just a young kid preacher, and I remember everybody telling me that Jerry Bush needed to be saved. His wife, Judy, was there in that church. They had two sweet little kids. The only problem was one of those kids had a serious heart defect. And his name was Randy. Randy was 6, 7, maybe years old at that time. And we began to pray for Randy because he was going to have a valve put in his heart at Vanderbilt Hospital. And I remember going by the house and talking to Jerry. Jerry was not a Christian. And I said, "Jerry, you know, I wanted you to know that we're praying for Randy." And of course, he loved his son very much. And he was very appreciative of me telling him that I would pray for him. And I went to the hospital with him on the day that they had surgery. But I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you would give your heart to the Lord and so that you could personally pray and ask God to help your son? Well, I don't remember if it was before Randy's heart surgery or not. But Randy had heart surgery. He did well. Doctor said it was a success. And I know that not long, or right around that time, Jerry gave his heart to the Lord. And Jerry Bush became an inspiration in that church. Jerry, you have to understand a few things about Jerry. There are sinners, and then they're sinners. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good moral people that never been saved, but then there's folks that might be good moral people, but they got some real bad habits. I remember Jerry telling me one time that he liked alcohol. And I remember telling me he had a great job. He was a foreman at a big plant and all of that. But he said when he decided to go on a drunk, that's what he said. He said he'd get drunk on beer. And he said there were times when he would start drinking beer, and he would not quit drinking beer for several days until the back of his pickup truck was level with beer cans. That same Jerry gave his heart to the Lord. And I remember baptizing Jerry. I remember when Jerry came to me one time right shortly after he was saved, and he said, Preacher, do you think I ought to start tithing? I've heard it all my life that Christians ought to tithe. And he said, do you think I ought to start tithing? I said, yes, sir, brother, I believe that. And I hadn't even baptized him yet. He said, do you think I ought to get baptized? I said, yes, sir, brother, you ought to get baptized. Jerry was one of these guys that when he got saved, I mean, he really got saved. He got baptized. He started tithing. He started coming to church regularly. His wife told me, he said, our marriage has never been like this. We've always loved each other, but there's a closeness now that we never felt before. You know, when I get to feeling blue, sometimes I think about all the wonderful things that God has done over the last 45 years. I remember one night that I was in Millington, Tennessee. That was near a Navy base, and this chief, petty officer, came in, and it was obvious that he was drunk. And not only was he drunk, but his clothes looked a mess. We had several former Navy guys in the church, and they said, Preacher, chief petty officers don't go out like that. Something's wrong here. Well, anyway, we got to talking with that guy, found out he had been into one of the clubs, and some of the guys had thrown him into the lake. And he knew his life was in a mess. Well, to make a long story short, he gave his heart to the Lord that night. And I'm telling you, that guy ended up being a tremendous blessing to that church. I had a privilege of helping him with his family. When I think about things, and I think about all the wonderful things God has done. And when I do that, it makes me want to praise the Lord with a loud voice. Now, I'm not a real emotional guy. People are different, you know. Some people are loud. I can tell you all are all the quiet bunch. Is that right? But listen, we ought to praise the Lord with a loud voice. And when these disciples had began to think about Bartimaeus and Jairus' daughter and Lazarus and all these things and all the wonderful things he did, they began to praise God with a loud voice. And so much so that the Pharisee said, Lord, tell them to be quiet. There's no need in all this fanaticism. You know, being a fanatic. Yesterday, they had this horse race up in, where was it, Louisville? Anybody ever heard of the Kentucky Derby? 160,000 people out there in their fine dress, and the women were all wearing these beautiful hats out in the rain. I believe there's 19 horses, if I'm not mistaken, all of them 3-year-old horses, and they were running around that track. It's over in a little while, you know, but yet people were screaming at the top of their voice because it was exciting. They were happy. You ever notice that people can yell like a Comanche Indian on Saturday night, but on Sunday morning, they're just quiet as a wooden Indian? You ever notice that? No offense to any Indians we got here today, okay? But anyway, you know, I know people are different, but every now and then, we ought to at least give a holy grunt, you know? We ought to be happy once in a while. And Jesus said to these Pharisees, he said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. What was he saying? He was saying if these stones could talk, they would cry out and praise the name of the Lord and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the land of Palestine is filled with stones. In fact, right up not too far from here, Rome Mountain up here, there's a guy named Greg Whitehead. Greg's a good friend of mine. And Greg went to the Holy Land. He said there were rocks everywhere. He said, in fact, we were down at the brook in the Valley of Elah, where David slew Goliath. And he said, I picked up some rocks. Now, I think that's illegal in Israel to pick up rocks and bring them home. But anyway, Greg felt like that he deserved it or something. I don't know. But he brought me a rock. He said, this very rock I picked up out of that stream in the Valley of Elah, is possible that David might have handled this rock himself back when he slew Goliath. Well, I don't know whether he did or not, but I know that there are rocks all over the place. How many of you been to the Holy Land? Are there rocks over there? Okay. I've never been to the Holy Land, but I've heard that there were rocks, and Jesus was good about just taking everyday things and giving an illustration. You remember, like, the sower went forth to sow? I mean, Jesus walking down the road with his disciples, and he said, the sower went forth. He saw a sower out there sowing. Well, at this particular time, he saw a lot of these rocks. Jesus sat on some of these rocks to teach. Jesus, you remember when, I'm going to get ahead of myself in my sermon, but there were rocks. There were rocks everywhere. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought what these rocks would say if they could talk? Now, for those of you who think that I'm taking too much liberty with the scripture here this morning, let me just give you an illustration. When I first started preaching, I was still in my senior year of Bible college. And in January, I'd gotten married when I was 19 years old, between my sophomore and junior year of college. And then when I was in my senior year of college, this little church up at Clarksville, Tennessee, needed a pastor. And so they called me to be their pastor. Now, you have to understand, when I was 21, I was a lot smarter then than I am now. In fact, I knew everything. You just asked me. I knew it all. And I went to this church to pastor, and I told them, I said, look, I want to preach expositorily. You just tell me what book of the Bible you want me to preach, and I'll just preach through that book. And you know what book they picked out? Revelation. You guessed it. Yeah, Revelation. Well, I had plenty of confidence in myself. I mean, after all, I had Piccarilli and Mr. Four Lines and all those guys that had taught me. And so I began to go through the book of Revelation. I did all right the first three chapters. After I got through those seven churches, man, I just started seeing beasts and thrones and harlots and all kinds of things in the book of Revelation. And so I thought to myself, well, that's no problem. I got all my books together. So I got some of the best books on Revelation that you could buy. I mean, scholars. I'm talking about guys like Warren Wiersbe and Charles Spurgeon and Arthur Pink and all these guys that I got their books. And so I would begin to preach through the book of Revelation. I thought, well, surely if I come to something that I don't know what it is, I can check my books and they'll tell me. You know what I found out about the book of Revelation? I found out that hardly anybody agrees on everything. And so what they do is they speculate. You know, there's Bible interpretation, there's Bible application, and then there's sometimes Bible speculation. The truth is, there's some things in the Bible not just cut and dried. We don't know exactly what they mean. And we can't be dogmatic on it, but there's nothing wrong with speculating. You know what I mean? Well, this sermon this morning is not exposition. It's not interpretation, brother. It's speculation, all right? What would these rocks say if they could testify? Well, let me just sort of go through the life of Jesus this morning. And let me do a little speculation. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted? Most of these things have to do with the life of Jesus. And do you remember when Jesus was tempted? This was very early in his ministry. And this is found in Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to have you turn there. But let me ask you something. Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You remember he was out there for 40 days without food. And Jesus was out there amongst the rocks in the wilderness. And for 40 days he was tempted. What would those rocks at the temptation of Jesus say if they could talk? Well, let me tell you what I think they'd say. I think they would testify to the fact that Jesus lived a sinless and a righteous life. Not just righteous, but absolutely righteous. These stones could say, Satan tempted him with everything. Turn these rocks into bread. All this stuff. And yet Jesus would not give in to the temptation. The Bible tells us other places that Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. So the rocks would first of all testify of a righteous and sinless life of Jesus. What about moving on down to the wedding in Cana of Galilee? This was one of the first miracles that Jesus did, if not the first. And Jesus was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Everybody was having a good time. You got to understand, back in this day and time, they'd have a wedding feast. It might go on for a week. And so they were just having a big time. And someone came to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said, they've run out of wine. Now, no doubt these were friends or family of Jesus. And so they said, tell Jesus about this. Jesus said, woman, leave me alone. My time has not yet come. But nevertheless, Mary talked to the crowd and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, Mary kept after Jesus, as you know, a mother can do. And she said, they have no wine, Jesus. And so Jesus went over to those stone water pots. Again, the stone water pots. Jesus, I don't know how big these things were. Most of the stuff I read says they were several gallons apiece. And Jesus told them to fill those stone water pots full. And they did just as he said. And then when they took it out to drink, it was wine. He had turned the water into wine. Now, let me ask you this. What would those rocks testify? They would testify that Jesus is a Savior that can provide any need that you have. They would testify of his desire to help you through whatever problem you might have. That he's a Savior that provides every need. You know, I wish I had time this morning. I have a real bad problem of having so many stories in my head over the last 45 years that I want to share them all at one time. But I remember so many times in my life that I have had needs. And seemed like financial needs have always been my issue. I just never felt like I made enough money, or I felt like I spent too much money or something. I don't know. Probably was a combination of two. But I can tell you, I can give you illustrations of how God has provided for my needs. I remember one time I was in Bible college. Now, I told you I got married when I was 19. I was still in Bible college. Sarah got a job downtown working for the state of Tennessee. And, you know, us being newlyweds, and my dad had this strange notion. I don't know where he got it from, but my dad had this notion that once you get married, you own your own. He did what is, they cut the apron strings. And so Dad cut the apron strings, and here I was trying to pay myself through college. I was working, my wife was working, but I mean, there were times when we just came up a little short. And I remember we had a one-bedroom apartment, and I had a big old desk in the front room of that apartment. And I remember I had a bill due at school, and I didn't know how I was going to pay it. And I said, "Now, Lord, you know I'm here studying for the ministry. You know, Lord, that I've tried to be a good steward of the money I have, but Lord, I'm just short. And I need $68.12 to pay this bill." That wasn't a big lot of money, was it? $68. I mean, nowadays, I got credit cards that'll take me to $20,000 a piece on them. And, you know, but $68 back then, I didn't even have a credit card. And I had to get money the old-fashioned way. I had to pray for it or borrow it. And I remember going to the mailbox a day or so during that time, and I opened up a check from my church down in South Carolina. I grew up in a little small church. And one of the Sunday school classes said, "We want to send Glenn a love offering." They sent me a love offering, and honest to goodness, it was for the same amount that I had prayed for, $68.12. Now, you may not believe that. That's all right if you don't believe it, but I'm telling you, it happened. And there have been times in my life, now, thankfully, I don't live quite that close anymore, but you know, there have been times, if you've never lived by faith, you ought to try it sometime. It's not a bad way to do it. And God has been good to me, and He has told me over the years that if I'll just be obedient to Him, He will provide for me. And I'm here to testify. After being saved almost 60 years, I can tell you and testify that God has always been faithful to provide. I believe those stones would testify that He is a providing Savior. If the stones could speak when Jesus was outside the temple. You remember when Jesus was outside the temple teaching? And there was he was there teaching, and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, I don't know much about a lot of things, But I do know this. It takes two to commit adultery, okay? For every time a woman commits adultery, there's a man committing adultery, right? I don't know where the man was. That always kind of bothers me. Why didn't they bring him to? I don't know. But that's just kind of the way it is. But anyway, they brought this woman to Jesus. They said they caught her in the very act. And Jesus stooped on the ground. They said, Jesus, the law says that if you catch somebody in adultery, you take them out and stone them. And Jesus stooped on the ground. In fact, it's suggested that maybe every one of those, that mob that came to this and asked Jesus about stoning this woman, it's suggested that they each one of them had a rock in their hand. And they asked Jesus, what do you think we ought to do? The law says we ought to stone her. Jesus stooped on the ground. I don't know what Jesus wrote. He might have been writing some names down. I don't know. I don't know what he was writing. But I know this. Jesus said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, those folks began to drop their rocks and leave. And Jesus looked up at the woman and said, where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, there are none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Now, Jesus was not condoning adultery, but he was forgiving of that woman, and he told her what he tells all of us once we've been forgiven, go and sin no more. So I believe those stones at that particular time would testify that he is a forgiving Savior. I don't know what you've done. I don't know the life of those of you who are here this morning. Maybe we got a room full of saints. I don't know. But there might be somebody here today who's got sin in your life. And you think you've got it hid. You think nobody knows, but I can assure you that God knows. But let me tell you something else. God can forgive you of that sin if you'll confess it and forsake it. So God is a forgiving God. I believe the stones would say that. If the stones could speak outside of the tomb of Lazarus, I believe they would testify of his power to give life to dead men. Isn't that what Jesus did when Lazarus, you know, Lazarus was buried inside a big stone. They hewed a rock out for graves. That's what they used for graves back in those days. They had a big stone in front of that grave. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, do you ever wonder why Jesus called Lazarus' name? It was suggested to me that if Jesus had just said, come forth, everybody in that graveyard would have come forth. But no, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up, still in his grave clothes. You know what grave clothes are? They wrap you from head to toe with cloth. And old Lazarus, he comes out. And they said, loose him and let him go. You know, I've never been dead physically yet, though all of us will die physically one day unless we're here when the rapture occurs. But I want to tell you this. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins when Jesus saved us. And so if the stones could cry out at Lazarus's tomb, if the rocks would cry out, they would say, he is a God that can bring life to dead people. If the stones could speak. If the stones could speak at the foot of Calvary. You ever think about Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, very rocky place, on top of a hill, Golgotha, Calvary. Ever thought about when Jesus was dying? The blood spilling on the ground. The soldiers coming by with that spear wanted to make sure he was dead, and it jabbed that spear up into his side, and the blood and the water spilled out, no doubt, on the rocks below. You ever thought what those rocks might say? I believe they would talk about an all-sufficient Savior who had finished what the Father had sent him to do. While Jesus was on that cross, he forgave two sinners, or he forgave the one that asked forgiveness. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." I believe those rocks would testify that Jesus finished paying for our sins on that cross. If the stones could cry out, I believe where they laid him in a tomb. You remember when Jesus was taken down on the cross and they took him into a tomb that was borrowed? What would they say? What would those stones say? They would testify that he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. Let me tell you something. If the stones could cry out, they would praise God. And you know what's sad? What is sad is that God has done so much for us, and we don't tell anybody. Jesus said the stones could do it, but he tells us to do it. He tells us to cry out. We ought not wait for the stones to cry out and give praise to God. We ought to be giving it ourselves. Amen? The last group of stones I want to talk about was on the Mount of Olives. Do you remember after Jesus rose from the dead? Several days later, they went out to the Mount of Olives where he was caught up into heaven. And the angel said, remember the angels were there? The angel said, this same Jesus that you've seen going today, he will so come again in like manner. I believe if the stones on the Mount of Olives could talk, they would say, folks, this same Jesus is coming back again. Are you ready? Let me ask you today, are you ready to meet the Lord? If Jesus came back today, would you be ready? The Bible says if the stones, if we won't talk, the stones will cry out, Hosanna. Praise him who comes in the name of the Lord. Has the Lord come into your life? Then start telling anybody. Don't wait for stones to talk for you. You can praise God yourself. Don't wait for the stones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for Jesus who has done so much for us, Lord. You've supplied every need we've had. You've forgiven our sins when we asked you to forgive us. Lord, you promised to come back for us again. You promised that you don't condemn us. You didn't come to condemn, but you came to save those who would just ask forgiveness. Lord, I pray today that we would just take a lesson today from these stones and that we would understand that we don't need to wait for the stones to cry out. We need to be more vocal, more verbal. We can talk about our cars. We can talk about our houses. We can talk about our grandkids. We can talk about a lot of things, Lord. But so many of us don't talk much about Jesus who died and saved us. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.